So here we are. We are talking about the fruits of the Spirit this last couple of weeks, and we're going to continue to talk about the fruits of the Spirit today, if that's okay. And so we talked about love, we talked about joy, and we talked about peace last week, and so we're going to go on to the next three today. We're going to go on to patience. Unfortunately, we're going to have to talk about that one. We're going to go to patience, we're going to go to kindness, and we're going to go to goodness. And we're going to hear today what the Scripture says and what the Bible says, hopefully to encourage us to position ourselves so that the Holy Spirit can grow these things through our lives. And so we said it last week, and we've got to reiterate it today and repeat it today, that you cannot work this up in your own strength. In fact, we can't do anything in our own strength of any value. It's never any good. It wears us out. It brings us down. But God says this morning, the Holy Spirit wants to produce good fruit in your life. And so this is why we're talking about it, and this is why I want to encourage you. But we talked last week, there's two different types of fruit. And so although we can't produce the fruit, it's very important that we're heading in the right direction and we've got the right desires. And of course, the Holy Spirit gives us that desires, because depending on those will depend on the fruit that we produce. And so although we can't produce it, we do have a hand in the fruit that's being produced, because our sinful nature wants to go the opposite way of what God wants us to do. But God says, I want you to have love, I want you to have joy, I want you to have peace, I want you to have patience, I want you to have kindness and goodness. And they're the three that we're going to talk about this morning and encourage your hearts. And hopefully God is going to reveal new things to you, and we're going to see him work through us. Patience. Patience is a good one. And here's a definition this morning, I want to give it to you. It says this: capacity to accept or tolerate delay, problem, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. And I'm already becoming annoyed, because that sounds like too good to be true. I don't want to handle delays like that. I want to get frustrated. I want to be allowed to get frustrated and get really mad, and it's all about me, and this, I'm not having this because I don't deserve it. And God says this morning, no, I want to grow your patience so that you're okay in delays. That you'll be like, it'll be fine, it's going to work out. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have a tiny bit of frustration, and you can't be a tiny bit angry at times, but I don't want that to be the dominant fruit in our lives. I don't want that to be the thing that controls us and makes me go the way I don't want to go. And this morning we're going to talk about some tiny things, but I believe this, that the tiny things lead to bigger things. And so it may only be tiny fruit at the start, but before you know it, that's the whole orchard. Before you know it, that's the whole orchard, and we're frustrated, and we're fed up, and we can't get any peace, and we can't get any comfort. And no matter where we go, it's always like, this is not fair, and life is not fair. And God is here this morning to tell you this: life is not fair, but Jesus came to make things completely different, to give you life and life to all its fullness. But even in the sight of that, we will not experience bliss totally along all the way on earth until we get to heaven. So God says, be of good cheer in sight of that. I've already overcome the world. Just keep following me. Keep seeking me. But patience is a great fruit that God wants to produce inside of us. I think number one, patience reveals our heart. Because whatever's in our heart is what's going to come out. Whenever we go to that restaurant and the food's not quite right, this is a joke. I'm not paying for this. I'm not having this. I want a refund. I'm getting out of here. Then that's fine. But again, small fruit could lead to bigger fruit. And before you know it, you're not happy with anything. Because the world's not about you. And you get more and more frustrated with that. And then it turns to more anger. And it just gets worse. And it gets worse. And it gets worse. And before you know it, you're not producing fruit of patience. It's impatience. And that is not a good fruit. And God says this morning, I want you to be a patient person, because that's who I am and that's who I've called you to be. Maybe we get to an impatient heart and we say, I don't deserve this. This is not right. I want this sorted ASAP, because we want it to be all about me. And God says, not about you. It's all about me. It's all about him this morning. Jesus is our light. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the one who has died for us. And we elevate him and we lift him up high. And he says, hey, as I'm lifted up, you'll find your place under me. And I will secure you. And I will give you peace. And I will give you patience. But this morning, we've got to know that God wants to produce patience in our lives if we let him. And patience wants to get in the way. But God says, be patient. I've got this. I've got a plan for this. And you know, it's silly this morning. I thought of a few different examples of when we get impatient and when we get frustrated and when we get annoyed. And we could go into deep ones, but I'll just go with the light ones to begin with, to maybe just get us going, remind us of how bad we are sometimes. I really want coffee, but my favorite coffee shop's not open. This is a joke. I mean, it can be something as simple as that. Or Argus. I'm like, how good is it now that you can click and collect? But unfortunately, sometimes when you go to click and collect on Argus, they don't have the item that you want in, and you got to wait till the next day. And you're like, this is a joke. I need it today. Do they not know that I need those hair straighteners today? This is a joke. It says wait till tomorrow. And we get frustrated and we get annoyed and we get impatient and we get fed up over the silliest things. And yet those small things can lead to bigger things. And it's harder to switch them around on the bigger things when we've cultivated this lifestyle in the small things. And so God says, don't get frustrated at Argus. Just chill out. Just chill out. You'll get it the next day. And if you don't get it the next day, go to Amazon and you'll get it after that. It will be fine. And so we want to go after the right fruits. And this morning God says, I want you to go after the fruit of patience. This is one that God wants to do in our hearts. God says, second thing today is patience is leading me in the right direction. And this is why patience, we're going to step it up and realize how important it is. Patience leads me in the right direction. I want to read Romans 5:3 together with us today. It says, we also have joy with our troubles. Look at this. Joy and troubles go hand in hand because troubles without joy is just, it's just dire. It's just terrible. But God says this morning, we need to have joy in the midst of our troubles because God's going to give us that joy, another fruit of the Spirit. But look what happens next. Because we know that these troubles produce patience. When we go through our troubles with joy, patience is produced. If we don't, it's not patience that's produced, it's anger. It's we're fed up. This is not fair. This is annoying. I'm not having this. But God says this morning, we've got joy in the midst of our troubles, patience gets produced. Because God's doing something. He's up to something. And as we read on, it says this, and patience, verse 4, produces character, and character produces good hope. And these are characteristics of Christians. And these are the things that God is calling us to be like. These are the people that God wants us to grow into. People of good character. People of good hope. People of good patience. People of good joy in the midst of troubles. Because we know even in the midst of troubles, we laugh. We said it last week. We should learn to laugh in the midst of troubles because we're laughing at the enemy. Because he thinks he's beating us. He thinks he's going to derail us. But we laugh with joy because we know the Lord's up to something good in the midst of that. And he will bring me out purified, shining. He will bring me out. He has a better plan. He's got a plan in the midst of all of that. His purposes are greater. And even in the midst of the pain, I've got joy. And what will that joy in the midst of troubles produce? Good patience. And that patience will lead to good character. And that character will lead to good hope. God has a plan. He's got a journey in every single way, in every single thing that we face, in every single battle, in every single issue that we go through. He's got a journey. He's got a plan. He's got a destination. And his destination is hope, to bring us closer to him, to let us know what he is about. I want to tell you a funny story about patience. And maybe you could think of many funny stories for you in your life. I believe this, that patience has foundations. That patience has foundations. That you can't simply get patience out of the blue. You've got to be building it on top of something else. And I think it's not by coincidence that joy, that love, joy, and peace come before it. Because I think they're good foundations to the middle of patience. It's hard to get it any other way. And so here's the story to try and illustrate the point. Nikki and I went on holiday to Spain somewhere. I think Jessica wasn't born at this time. Doing a quick holiday to just relax, enjoy, have a good time. And so we come to the end of the holiday, and I don't know if you're the same as me, but you go to the notice board to find out when the silly coach thing, the bus thing's coming to bring you to the airport. But when you go to that notice board, you're in Spain, so it kind of, you're not sure if this is from 10 years ago or 10 minutes ago. So you just hope, and you see the number, and you phone the number, and nobody answers the number, or if somebody does, they just say, oh, just have patience, just wait, it'll come. I'm not having patience. So you wait there, and I think at the time it was meant to come at 11 o'clock. The bus is going to come at 11. Our flight is out there at 1:30, something like that. That's going to be perfect. Loads of time. We'll get through all the things we need to get through. We get in the plane. We'll cruise on home. It's been a great holiday. So that doesn't quite go to plan. And so 11 o'clock comes, and then 11:30 comes, and I'm standing at the front going, have we read the wrong thing? Are we in the wrong time zone? What is going on? My patience is starting to decrease here. My panic is starting to go through the roof. I'm like, what's going on, Lord? What's going on? And so it gets 11:30. I think it gets to 12. I think it even gets past 12. And at this point, I'm like, what is going on? This is going to cost us. And now I'm in this dilemma of, will I phone the taxi? Because it's going to cost probably 80, 90 quid, something like that. But it's worth that than miss the flight and have to pay a whole new flight. So I'm contemplating what to do. And then it's almost like God speaks to me. He goes, hello, are you there? He goes, pray to me. I'm going to sort some stuff for you. Pray to me. And so I start to pray. And I'm like, God, I don't know what to do here, but I'm panicking. And in the midst of that, I had love because I was full of love. We've just done a great holiday. It's awesome. We've just been through a great holiday. I had plenty of joy because I had a nice suntan. I'm feeling warm. It's not rainy over there. I'm feeling good. But I tell you what I didn't have was peace. I didn't have any peace going on. And I needed to pray. And yet when I started to pray, that peace started to come. And then God starts to do what he needs to do. And before you know it, the bus comes. But it's to illustrate the point of this, that it's really hard to have patience if you haven't got the other three working in your life. If you haven't got those first three fruits just laying a great foundation, it's really hard to drum up patience. It's one that you might force up, but it won't be real patience, because if you don't have love, joy, and peace, it's hard to have it. They're the good fruits that precede it. They're the good fruits that help us to lead into that patience and stay patient in the midst of those troubles, in the midst of those trials, because we know we're loved. We know we've got joy bringing us through the troubles, and we've got peace even in the midst of every storm. And all of those things come from Jesus this morning. And he says this, there's good foundations to patience, and it's love, joy, and peace. And let's make sure that we're building those and allowing the Lord to build those into our lives so that his patience can come in us. And we need it this morning. And when we think about it in other kind of scenarios, we think about it with a baby that doesn't sleep at night, and you just had this baby. You're full of love. You're full of joy for it, and you're full of peace. And so therefore you can cover the sleepless nights. You got patience. Or maybe it's a son or daughter and they go to drive, and this is one that might get your blood boiling. And maybe you were teaching them to drive and you're like, no, don't go here, go there. And they're like, Dad, Mom, have patience. I'm going to get this thing. You're like, no, you're going to wreck my car and you're not going to pay for the bill. But God is here this morning. He says, hey, you got to have patience in the midst of all of these things, because I'm working things, I'm changing things, I'm turning things around, I'm growing things, I'm transforming people's lives. And one of the things that's going to test our patience the most, if you haven't noticed already, are people. They are going to test our patience the most, especially people that's not us, because we never get impatient with ourselves, we're all good. But it's people out there, they're the bad guys, we're the great guys, you know what I mean, that type of one. And they're gonna draw us out. They're gonna frustrate us at times. They're gonna draw out anger in us. They're gonna reveal what's in our hearts. And in those moments, we're gonna have to draw on God's love, His joy, and His peace. Otherwise, we're gonna get mad and be like, "Ugh, I don't want to be around you. You don't make me patient." And God says this morning, "I am creating in you true patience, real patience." And here's the truth about patience this morning: it is powerful. It is not weak. Romans 12:12 says this. Let's think about this one together. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Even in the midst of the trials, even in the midst of the hurts and the battles that we go through, we can be patient in those. Be joyful in hope. Be faithful in prayer. See, God is saying this morning, people that are patient are powerful people. People that are not patient are displaying weakness, because it's easy to recoil. It's easy to say, this is not fair. I'm not having this. I'm not doing this. It's easy to be like this. It's easy to react. It's easy to give the explanation that everybody else does or the reaction that everybody else does. But it's much harder to refrain, to resist, to hold back, to remain peaceful, to be patient in the midst of that. Because it's not about me. It's about Jesus. He's producing good fruit in my life. I want to let him produce good patience in me. And God is here this morning. He's saying this to us. We are people of patience. And in that, we will reveal who we walk after. In that, we will reveal who we belong to. Because Jesus demonstrated patience over and over and over again. He was incredible with people, wasn't he? He was absolutely incredible. He says, many times do you forgive? 70 times 70. In other words, as many times as you need to. Because with love, we can forgive. With joy, we can overcome. With peace, we'll keep going. But if you don't have those things, then everything's a frustration, everything's an annoyance, everything's this is not good enough, this is not fair. And God says this morning, don't allow the enemy to rob your patience. It's actually a really good fruit. It's not weakness, it's powerful. And it takes a powerful person to go to that inner strength of patience and to demonstrate it on a daily basis. Because absolutely, God produces it in our lives, but we choose to eat from it and we choose to give it away. That part's up to us. And what kind of fruit are we selling to everybody else? What kind of fruit are we giving to everybody else on our day-to-day struggles? I'm a patient person. I'm a joyful person. I'm a person full of love. I'm a person full of grace. I'm a person full of peace. And that is what we want to give away, because everybody else is watching, saying, what are those guys really like? What are those guys really like? Are they really what they say? And this morning, we do it in the best that we can and through God's help, and we demonstrate his patience. We demonstrate his love. And God is here this morning. He says, come on. Do not forget it. Do not hold back, because patience makes us stronger and it helps us endure in the midst of trials. I want to look at kindness this morning. And again, we could have talked all day on patience, but we're trying to move. We're trying to keep going. Kindness is a great one. But kindness, again, is one of those ones where we think to ourselves, do we really have to be kind? Is that something that we really have to do? If you look it up in the Greek, which I did just because I want to look smart, then it's one of the definitions of kindness is be useful. And I like this. I mean, kindness has to link up to our actions. Because we can say that we're kind, but if we never demonstrate our kindness, then it's like, well, he says he's kind, but he never does anything. Never does anything for anybody. Ever heard that one before? But kindness actually demonstrates. And kindness and goodness, we're going to see in a moment, they do go hand in hand. But kindness is one of those ones where you can say you're kind, but if you never show that kindness, then it's like, well, it's just no good. And God says this morning, one of the definitions for kindness is be useful. Be useful. Be useful to the people around you. And that simply means practically. And I mean, we can get really spiritual all of the time, and I love to get spiritual, but it's got to come right down to the practical as well, where we are people of practical means, where we are people that do practical things. So when we know that someone needs help, we go and show kindness, and we help them. When we see that someone's new here today, and we've been here for a while, we get over ourselves, and we go and be kind, and we go and be friendly to them. Or maybe you see someone who hasn't been in a while. We go and be kind, and we go and welcome. Hey, great to see you. It's like, no, it's not, where have you been? It's like, great to see you. We want to show kindness. And again, you cannot fake kindness. Now, you can, sometimes you got to work at it, but you can't fake it. It's got to be genuine. It's got to be from your heart. It's got to be from that heart of love, from that heart of joy, from that heart of peace. I want to be kind towards you because Jesus was kind towards me. And so kindness has to break down to practicalities. It has to be that. It's like, oh, I see somebody in need. I'm going to go help them. I see somebody in church that wasn't just didn't seem their normal self. I'm going to go out of my way to phone them this week. I'm going to go out of my way to go and visit them. Now, I know we can't do that all the time, but we've got to show kindness. It's got to get somewhere. It's got to move. Kindness has got to move us to action. And as it moves us to action, here's the key thing with kindness. Not only are we to be useful, but we've got to be gentle. We've got to be tender. Jesus is incredibly tender and incredibly gentle with us. Wrap it into patience. If he wanted to be, he'd be like, are you for real? That's the second time today you've done this thing. Could you tighten up and get on with this thing and stop praying unless you're going to change? I mean, could you imagine if they were the words of God that came, that would come from heaven to us? We'd be like, whoa, this God is crazy. What's going on? But instead, God comes with love, with tenderness, with gentleness. And he surrounds us. He loves us. He comes around and says, it's going to be fine. I know you've battled through this for years, but I'm going to help you out here. And he comes with strength, and he comes with reason, and he comes with purpose. But in the midst of that, be useful. I've got to have kindness. I've got to have love. I've got to have that gentleness. I've got to have that tenderness. And there's times where we've got to come around people with that kindness and show that kind of love. And God is here this morning. He says, that's what I want us to show. Here's what it says. Kindness leads to our salvation. Titus 3, 4, and 5 is a great demonstration of God's kindness towards us. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our God, of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's important to note that it was God's kindness that led him to salvation. It was like, that's what preceded, that's what went before, his love, his kindness, his goodness, and it brought him to salvation of like, I'm going to rescue these guys, I'm going to set these guys free. Remember, he didn't do it because he had to, he didn't do it because it was a good idea, he didn't do it because he wanted other people to think he was good, he did it because he was good, because he was full of kindness, because he was full of love. And this morning, as we think about kindness and you think about what that means to us in our lives, I think we can see very clearly that you're not going to work kindness up. It's got to come from a heart of God. It's got to come through his strength. He's got to produce that in your life. And so this morning, if we want to be people that show the kindness of God, we've got to be people that are close to God. We've got to be people who know God. We've got to be people that are allowing God to produce that kind of fruit in our lives. And you know the wonderful thing about kindness? That if you give it, you'll always receive it. And even if you don't receive it from the person that you give the kindness to, God is faithful to give that kindness back. Because kindness is always a two-way street. It's always a two-way process of like, we're going to give kindness away. Because if we're expecting to get some kindness, we've got to be people that give away some kindness. Because that's who Jesus is. And that's who he wants us to be in our lives. So we've got to get practical. We got to get practical with our actions. We got to get practical in the ways that we love people, in the way that we go and meet with people, in the way that we talk to people, in the way that we react with people. And at the very end of that, it says, but according to his own mercy. See, mercy and kindness, they're very similar, aren't they? That God would show his mercy on us after all the things that we've said, after all the things that we've done. even as Christians, after all the mistakes that we continue to make, after all the sins that we shouldn't do, but we do, and we don't want to do, and sometimes we think we'll just get away with it and it'll be okay, that in the midst of all of that, he's still kind towards me. He's still merciful towards you. He's still got mercy towards you. And it's not a forced one. It's one rooted in love. One rooted in love. And so this morning, as we think of his kindness, we've got to reveal that kindness through his mercy and through his goodness. Second thing, quick thing about kindness before we go to goodness, is kindness is a great answer to selfishness. It's just a great answer to it. If we're not careful, selfishness just loves to control our lives. And not maybe the selfishness that you're thinking, because you're probably thinking to yourself right at this moment, I'm not a very selfish person. That's awesome. But maybe you are, and you just don't know it. Now, I'm not saying that this on your life, but maybe we just need to think a tiny bit deeper, because we're not just as squeaky clean as we think sometimes. And so you can have selfishness wrapped up in busyness, because everybody's got to be busy, and I'm just really, really busy. And you couldn't possibly expect me to help you because I'm really, really busy. Now, I get that. Everybody is busy. But come on, we're not that busy. And if we are, let's pray to God that you'd have breakthrough, because you don't need to be that busy. You don't. I remember a boss, and she was funny. She wasn't Jesus at this point. But I remember she would always come to the guys, to the employees, to the people that work with her, and I worked with her and stuff. And I'd see it every time. Somebody come new to the workplace, and she would give them this incredible workload. She just did it on purpose. She was a bit bad. She wasn't like God at all. She was a bit bad. But demonstrates the point. And she would give them this incredible workload, and the first thing they would complain about is, we can't get this done, it's just too hard. You know what her first response would be? Time management. You need to manage your time better. You need to manage your time. And although she was being hard, she was trying to teach them something. That time management is an important tool. It's an important asset to us. And I think sometimes we are being lied to by the deception of busyness, and that I haven't got enough time, and that time's always against me, and time's always running out. Here's the reason I know that sometimes that can be a deception. It's because God wouldn't call us to demonstrate these fruit. He wouldn't call us to great destiny and great purpose if he hasn't made ways for us to achieve it. If he hasn't made ways for us to make it happen. God wouldn't call us to these things if they were impossible, but maybe they are impossible in your strength, but not in his strength. And we've got to be careful this morning that our kindness is not being held back by a root of selfishness that maybe is about time and maybe about I'm too busy, because maybe there's some other things that just need to be shuffled, need to be changed to allow you to be the kind person that you need to be in those moments, on those days, on those occasions. Because here's the thing, there are times when we will need it in return. And if we're looking to walk out and be the people of God and demonstrate his love and kindness, then things may have to shift in our life. Oh my goodness, things may have to change. We may just have to drop one or two things, but don't worry, God will give you the muscles if you need, if it's gym or whatever that would be. Or maybe he might reveal to you that you don't even need them. I don't know. But God wants to encourage us this morning that kindness is a great thing to go after. Do not neglect it. Do not forget it, because it was his kindness and his goodness that led him to salvation. And kindness is an important weapon against the enemy, because he hates it. And so us as Christians this morning, we've got to remember our weapon of kindness. It is a weapon this morning, because people cannot get their head around it. This act of kindness, this love of kindness, these people who will demonstrate kindness when there is no need to do it. But because of our love, we are moved by the people that we face. So let's demonstrate kindness everywhere we go as best as we can. We cannot get wrapped up on other things. And the truth this morning is, if there are other things getting in the way, if there are other desires getting in the way of this good fruit, then maybe some of those desires need to change, or maybe need to realign, or maybe God just wants to hold some things back from us for a while, and then he'll give them back later. But God wants to produce and grow this great fruit in our lives if we will let him. And so kindness is an important one. And let's go finally to goodness and leave ourselves a few minutes just to talk about it. Goodness. Let's think about this. Goodness. What do we say about that? Well, we always say God is good. In fact, God is good is so kind of hand in hand that you only have to add an O or take an O away and you always get good or God. They're just incredible. You cannot separate the two of them. They are amazing. And so this morning, when it comes to us, God wants to see that kind of goodness being produced in our lives. He wants to know that you are good people going after good things. Now, of course, we know that the Bible tells us that nobody is good, only Jesus. But Jesus lives inside of us, and he says this. And his words are greater. that I want to produce goodness in you. I want to produce good fruit in you. Even the spiritual gifts themselves are called good. I mean, God is just all about good. And if we are not people of good deeds and good actions and good fruit, then we do not look like the Father. And the Father says this morning, I want you to look like me. And so how do we define good? A bit like kindness. God was good to me. God was good to us. We could define it any other way, like God's good in all the practical senses, but I think one of the best ways that we can define God's goodness is just he was good to me. He's good to you. He is still good to me. He will continue to be good to me. He'll continue to be good to you. And so this morning, I don't know what you're battling. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. Or maybe the enemy has attacked the goodness of God. Isn't it funny how quickly the enemy tries to attack the goodness of God? And yet God says this morning, I am good, and I want to produce that goodness in you, and I want to produce that good fruit in you to benefit the kingdom and to benefit the people around us. It's not just words. It's not just thoughts. It's not just, I'll tell you it over the phone. It's actions just like kindness. And this morning I want to finish off with a story about the Good Samaritan. Because I think it's just a great story to demonstrate the goodness of God and the kindness of God. And we're going to read it together. Here's what it says in Luke 10, 29. Starts off with this verse. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? I dropped this one in just because it reminds me a lot like me. Maybe it reminds you a lot like you. You know, Jesus told me to do something. He's told me to be kind. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm trying to justify things. I'm trying to say, but you don't understand, God. You don't know what he's like. You don't know what she's done to me. And God says, I do know. I died for it. Don't worry. It's on the cross. It's paid for. Go and be good. Go and be kind. Go and show the goodness. And then ask this question, and who is my neighbor? Because we are incredibly smart people, and God asked us to go and love our neighbors just as we'd love ourselves. And so this guy thought he was going to be smarter, and he said, well, who is my neighbor? In other words, could I get out of loving a few people? And God's going to go on to show him, you don't get out of loving anybody. You even got to love your enemies. You got to show good to those who even spitefully use you and pray for them. Says this, and who is my neighbor? And we're going to read it in Luke 10, verse 30. Jesus replied, it's quite a lot, but we'll read it as best we can. And Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Verse 31, now by chance, this is good news, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Okay, not good news. And then verse 32, so likewise to a Levite, when he came to a place, came to where he was, and when he saw him, verse 32. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But verse 33, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Something different. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And then the next day he took him out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you need to spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these, Jesus says, of these three men do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? Verse 37, he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. An incredible, powerful story about three different people, all responding slightly differently, but one only making a difference. And church, this morning, we are going to go out there. It says right at the beginning in verse 30, and end of verse 30, it says, leaving him half dead. We're going to go out in the world today, tomorrow, the next day, and we're going to meet half-dead people. In fact, we're going to meet spiritually dead people all over the place. And what will be our reaction? What will be our reaction as we meet them? Will it be to show goodness, or will it be to get to the other side and get away as quick as possible? Will it be to get away? And remember, this is not just an occasion where the guys are busy. God's not trying to demonstrate a point where there's maybe some time where you can't and you've got to keep moving. God's trying to demonstrate something deeper. He's trying to demonstrate something deeper here. This is a hardcore thing that God's trying to show us, that if we're not careful, if we're not producing good fruit in our lives, if we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to produce good fruit in our lives, then we're going to come across people that are dead all the time. We're going to come across people that are needy all the time. And instead of running to help them, we're going to cross to the other side, which is a huge thing. And we're going to try to get away. And God says this morning, are we going to be one of the three that makes a difference? Or are we going to be the majority that just walks on by? Because even the two out of the three make a majority. And unfortunately, we have seen it too often. Maybe you've been guilty. I've definitely been guilty. And I allow the Lord to change me. I allow the Lord to help me. And thank goodness He is a good God who says, I'm going to love you. I'm going to change you. I'm going to help you. But I'm called to produce good fruit in my life. And one of these most important fruits is to be good. It's to be the Good Samaritan. I mean, his name's not the Good Samaritan. His name's Samaritan. But because of his actions, made him good. And I want us to be the good people of God. We can be the people of God, or we can be the good people of God. And God says this morning, we've got to be good because He's calling us to be good. God is pouring this out into our lives. We are people that will be people of action, that will demonstrate the goodness of God wherever we go. And I'm going to finish with just a few points on this morning to try and draw our attention. We said already, only one person made a difference. Will we be the one person or the two people? It's up to us. Goodness transforms people. Because when the priest came along, what did he see? I think he saw this. I think he saw a person in a mess, and it looked like work. And he said, I'm too busy. I've got to cross to the other side. I think the Levite came, and he said, I'm probably too busy too. It looks like work. I'm going to cross to the other side. But then the Samaritan came, who, by the way, is despised in the region, who's rejected in the region, who has no business interacting in this area. And the Samaritan comes along, and guess what happens? Something goes, it bypasses his mind, and it goes straight to his heart, because it's our hearts that are important this morning. And compassion hits him. Love hits him. And he says, I feel compelled that I cannot walk by. It doesn't matter if I'm too busy. It doesn't matter if I don't have time. I'm going to have to make time here because I've got to show goodness because this guy looks half dead. Remember this. The guy looked half dead. He was half dead. He was beaten up pulp. Somebody needed to stop and help him. The other two guys, it never got past their minds, I believe. It never got past this idea of work. I'm too busy. I've got to keep going. But for the third guy, the Samaritan, it got to his heart. And when it got to his heart, he couldn't get anywhere else but to go to help this person. And God says this morning, be mindful of how we guard our heart. Be mindful of how we keep our heart, because out of it flow the issues of life. Be mindful what's in our heart, because out of it the mouth speaks. Be mindful of our heart, because we got to keep it soft. We got to keep it sensitive. We got to keep it ready to react to the world around us, because the world needs reacted to, because it's full of needs, and it's full of hurts, and it's full of pains. And if our heart gets hard, then suddenly we react in an opposite way, in a bad fruits way. But if our heart stays soft, connected to the vine, connected to Jesus, it produces that good fruit, that fruit of love, that fruit of kindness, that fruit of joy, that fruit of goodness. And when the Samaritan came, he felt compelled to stop because he was compelled by God's love. And this morning, church, we're going to walk past many, many people. And I understand not everybody can we stop with. Not everybody can we stop for a moment with and help. But there will come those occasions where we must stop and we must help because it's who we are. And because of the goodness inside of our heart and because of that compassion that wells up inside of us, we say, no matter what, I'm going to have to stop. And church, if you have felt that goodness before, then you know how good it is. If you've received that before, then you know what it feels like. And God says, give it away to others. Give it away to others. Show that goodness. People affected his heart. And this is so important for us. Our hearts need to be affected by the world around us. And what is the proof of it? Our actions. Because actions prove it. Actions prove to ourselves what our hearts is really saying, what our heart is really doing. And God says this morning, allow me to produce this fruit in your life and watch how I will transform you. I'm going to finish off in just a moment. We're going to get our guys to come to get ready to play as we get ready to worship. And here's what it says in Luke 10:34 as they're coming. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Here's what I love about the Good Samaritan and why he's called good is because he went above and beyond because of what God was doing in his life. And for us this morning, it's not about doing the minimum. It's about giving our best. And I know if that's already sounding like hard work this morning, it's because we're trying to muster it up in our own strength. And God says, you can only do this in my strength. And so God says this morning, as we go to be good, again, it's got to have the right foundations. It's got to come from the right place. It's got to come from his heart. It's got to come from his heart. Our hearts surrender to him. But if we do, then suddenly we give our best away. And as the man saw the guy who was in need, look what he did. He traded places with him. He put him on, most likely on his donkey. He said, you ride in the donkey. I'll walk beside you. He said, I'm not going to the hotel. You're going to the hotel. I'm the one that it's costing. It's not going to cost you anything. He traded places with the guy. And God says this morning, if we're going to treat each other in the way that Christ treated us, we take each other's place. Is that not what Jesus did? He went to the cross. He took our place because we were not good enough, because we were not able. And his goodness said, I'll take your place. And God says this morning, I'm looking to produce fruit in your life, good fruit that takes other people's places. I'm looking to produce good fruit in your life, in your heart, in your walk, in your day-to-day, where you will trade places with the people around you, because you'll say, hey, you're going to sit up there while I go down here because you need it more than me, because I want to show you a better way. I want to show you a different way. And so we're going to pray the Holy Spirit will enable us this morning afresh. Can we stand together? Allow him to touch our hearts. Allow him to encourage us. Right at the end of that story, I think it bears repeating. Jesus said, you go and do likewise. God is calling us. Jesus is calling us this morning to go and do likewise. To go and do those things for everybody else. Go and help. Go and make a difference. Patience, kindness, and goodness. Can we pray for just a moment? Lord, I thank you this morning. You're a good God. A God that says, I want to transform you all the way through. Not just a transformation that allows you to go to heaven one day, but I want you to look like me here on earth. And Lord, that's a privilege. That's an honor. It's not a hassle. It's incredible. And God is so good this morning. He says, you're not even going to have to try to produce this stuff. You just have to let me do it. You just have to submit your life to me. You just got to give it over to my hands. Surrender. Be obedient. And as we are, we get that love. We get that joy. We get that peace. We get that goodness. We get that kindness. We get that patience. We get all the good gifts. We get all the good fruits. And God says this morning, I want to continue to grow you. I want to continue to mature you. I want to continue to transform you into the person just like me. I want you to be the people that will go and make a difference in the world around us, because not only are we saying the right things, but we're doing the right things, and we're coming around people in the right ways, and we're loving each other, and we're building each other up, and we're doing good to each other, and we're showing patience with each other, and we're being kind-hearted. Because sometimes that's exactly what people need. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would come, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just continue to manifest these things in our lives, Lord. That you would come this morning, Lord, and maybe we're producing some other fruits, Lord. Maybe we're thinking some negative stuff. Lord, this morning, would you come and transform our thinking, transform our minds, Lord, just by the renewing of your word, Lord. That we would know this morning that faith, Lord, that is faith, Lord. Without faith, it's impossible to please you, Lord. Without faith, it's impossible to walk in these things. But Lord, if we would receive your faith, if we would receive your grace, Lord, then we could walk in that and we could do great things for the kingdom of God. Lord, you're not here to beat us up. You're here to produce good things in our lives. And so this morning, as we stand, as we worship, Lord, will you lead us to be not only spiritual people, but practical people? As we stand this morning and sing, Lord, will you continue more and more of that growth in our lives? Continue more and more growth in our lives. And Lord, just as a side note, sometimes the most impatient that we can be is with ourselves. But Lord, connected with all of that is time. And I pray, Lord, that this morning, that even in those moments, that you won't allow us to be too impatient on ourselves. But instead, we will know there's times, there's seasons, there's growth that I've got to go through. And God is growing me at the right time, at the right rate, in the right season. And he's doing his thing. We just surrender to him. Lord, we love you this morning. I pray you're just drawing us to yourself, Lord. I pray this morning you're just bringing us close to you and letting us know your heart. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Guys, I'm going to give you a call to action just before we worship. And that is, Danielle said about joining our host team, welcome team. One of the best ways that you can serve, one of the best ways that you can live out the fruits of the Spirit is by being there for everybody else, being a servant. And so I'm going to call you. Maybe welcoming or hosting is not your thing, but maybe it's making tea or coffee, if that's your thing. Maybe it's going and helping with the kids. Maybe it's the younger kids. Maybe it's the older kids. Maybe it's helping with the teens. But I want to encourage you this morning that we are people blessed with abilities to use them. And if you're able and you've a desire and you want to, join a team. We would love you to join a team, and we'd love you to help out. Again, it's not a huge commitment, but there's a small commitment in it, and God loves commitment because it keeps us going, it keeps us steady, it keeps us moving in the right directions. So if you'd like to come and see some of the guys, there are forms out on the table about joining a team. You can do that online as well, or if you want to just talk to one of the guys, then go and see some of the kids' team, Sharon and some of her helpers. Go see Danielle, Lisa, any of the ones. See anybody around, and we will help you to join a team, because that helps us and it helps everybody else, because we want to be a church that are great at serving each other, that are great at being there for each other, that live out practically the things that God's calling us to do, not just people that hear it, but doers of the word as well, because we're people here to serve. We're people here to look like Jesus. Amen? So that's what we're going to do. So we're going to worship. And as we worship, we're going to practically give to the Lord as well. Is that okay? So give them in your worship, but give them in your finance if you can. If you're a visitor, then no big deal. Then you just enjoy. But if you come here all the time, then give to the Lord. It is such a precious gift. It is so part of our worship, and we want to honor Him in that. So come on, let's worship this morning in all that we do. Amen.